you find yourself in like the next little circle that's like just above yours, and all of a sudden you're like, damn, bro, like I'm not good, right? But you are, like, you're still better than like that 97-98%, but then there's that next level up that then also really pushes you, right? Mm-hmm. Because like I think so for so long it was the same thing for me in law enforcement, was that like I was lucky in that I was always just kind of like up at the top. It wasn't really for any reason. Like it was just something that I was good at. I was like, yeah, I'm good at this, man. And then all of a sudden, like, I go to Air Marshal Service and I'm like, no, here's my gun. Sorry. Like, JJ Ricazza is my shooting coach. Right. And I'm like, I ain't good. I ain't even like average. Like, but then you push yourself and like you catch that bug of like, hey, I can be really good.
Rode in airplanes for a little bit.
Yeah, I rode in airplanes for a little bit. Yeah. So I have not been kind to my body.
Well, that's good. Do your knees still work okay? Do they creak?
No, my knees don't work at all.
Yeah.
I ruptured a ligament in this knee that holds the kneecap in place, and then to accompany that, I tore this hip labrum fighting a guy. So I'm just going to destroy the entire right side of my body and then just be all left and a right-sided cyborg.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
well, RoboCop.
I've seen RoboCop. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. By the time it's done, I mean, like why not? With the Walter Steel frame guns, I'm just gonna make me a really big one and
just be one with the gun.
And, yeah, right. Just.
I think that drops next shot.
Yeah, I think so.
Paul, bring your microphone in just a little bit. There we go. About an inch and a half. That's good. That's good. I can hear you.
Yeah, that'll be Walter's next project. Just make me a
cyborg.
Cyborg.
That's gun. Cool.
Make Walter's you a robot leg and a
cool
blaster.
Video.
Yeah. That would
be
cool.
A good
the JDPDP.
Cool, you could do that. You could pitch it the next one. Be like, all right, the next PDP that we drop,
right?
Whatever iteration it is,
it's the JDP. It's the Jim Dexter pistol.
Yeah,
because the pistol is Jim Dexter. Yeah, and I am German, so this makes perfect sense.
It'll
I think
work.
This is the pitch.
Yeah,
this is,
and I mean, you're ginger, so you don't have a soul, so you can be a cyborg.
So and so then it doesn't matter ethically for the project.
And I'm so glad that you finally found the Easter egg in the podcast.
I was.
Oh yeah, the Nick Young podcast.
I was driving around. And I was coming home from something, and I'm like, oh, I'll catch up on this and watch. Listen to Nick Young. And I'd listened to it in a couple of segments. I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I'm just like, what the hell? Man, I didn't even say anything this time. I said, the other one, I brought that on myself, right? Because that's just what I do. And then this one, I said, what in? I stopped in the middle of traffic. People are honking at me. I said, shut up. I'm being blasphemed online. I got to make a post real quick. Just stop in the middle of the road. And, what the hell? BTO 2 group. I'm like, what the hell? People are like, you're vague booking. I'm like, you ain't listen to the podcast. It ain't vague booking, okay? Like, yeah.
Like, come on. That's, I love putting Easter
shots
eggs and
fired.
Stuff. Like, there's Easter eggs all over the website. And we've talked about getting back into it.
Yeah.
Where we leave stuff. But like, there's Hulk Hogan videos embedded in the pod or in the
product
website.
Easter eggs are cool. They're, they're a fun thing to do. I put an Easter egg in the PDP video.
Oh, nice.
Because the Walther medical kit that I'd created with Riker Nylon Gear, the Defense Division ankle medical kit, I had just gotten the production sample of it right before we flew out to Salt Lake City to shoot the PDP video. And I asked Cody, I said, hey, how about in the locker scene that ended up being like all the promo pictures too, that's me holding the gun like up at a locker. So you see the Defense Division ankle medical kit in there, but nobody knew that that's what that was. Cause I had just been wearing the production sample of it and it hadn't been checked off to go fully in. And I'm like, hey, what if I put this up in a locker? So there was a cool little Easter egg of my project with Walther, with me then doing the video for the PDP.
That's
so
awesome.
It was fun.
We should have got a bottle of barbecue sauce to set behind us.
Oh yeah. Do the whole, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Little sweet baby Ray's. Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
I get a bottle of like ranch from the lobby or something like that.
It was have like a thing, a Hidden Valley. Just
yeah.
Like
could have brought us. What?
Random product.
Are you in Minnesota? Right.
Iowa.
Iowa, same thing. You're in Ohio. You're in Ohio. He's like, I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, whatever.
Like,
same thing. Nerd.
Same thing.
I go to Ohio. Like, you see me in Ohio at OTA all the time, but then I go back home.
Yeah. Like, I don't. Thank you for your time.
You're in Dallas, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we have trees, actual pine trees.
It's true. We have foliage.
Better tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah, all together.
I don't know. The Houston traffic, though, is wild.
We don't go into Houston. No, we stay in our little bubble up there.
I bet.
We don't do that.
I travel like 10 miles away from home. Take the kids to school, go to the grocery store. And then every once in a while.
When Jen and I were in Houston teaching Houston PD.
Yeah.
Man, I'm from Chicago, right? So, like, traffic doesn't normally bother me. But I was, this is crazy. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And y'all's roads are nuts, man. Like, we're in the sky. I'm looking around. There's 97.
You're in the sky and you're doing 100 miles an hour.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying. Like, I don't even go low. Like, in Chicago, you go under Lower Wacker, and you're, like, under Chicago, and your GPS goes out, and you're like, I'm going to die down here. Right? But, like, you're underground. There, you're, like, just up and, like, literally up in the sky. Like, I'm like, how's this happening?
Oh, you need to go over the Beltway 8 Bridge.
Oh, this is terrible. I don't want to do this ever again.
The Rainbow Bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I don't even like going over that thing.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, like, the Beltway, like I was telling you, it's, like, 200-something miles long. Or the Grand Parkway from one end to the other. You can fit Connecticut down in it.
And then we stayed in the wrong hotel. We stayed in the further one. There was one that was like 15 minutes from the training center. No, we didn't stay at that one. We stayed at the other one that was like 6 days.
6 days.
We actually left the morning of the class for the next day's class.
I think that's the one that Frank Proctor stayed at that one time.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Was it? That he was just lost?
Yeah, I bet it was because we're on the range. And I turn around because we're getting ready to do the 25-yard drill, so I had to split everybody up. And I'm doing a head count. I'll never forget this. I'm doing a head count. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, Frank Proctor, 4, 5, 6. What? Frank? He was just standing in there. He had to shut up because he was over on the slot range. And she comes over, and he's just standing
in the just there.
He didn't even say anything. I'll never forget it. 1, 2, 3, 4, Frank Proctor, 5, 6, 7.
Wait, hang on. Hold it.
Hey, he's like, hey, guys. Nice. Yeah. So we're out there at the same time.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's Houston's a whole different animal when it comes to traffic and driving. And
I mean, I think that was like my biggest culture shock when I moved. Wasn't like the people or the food; it was driving, like actually road rage, like Mad Max driving.
You got to move.
Yeah, like if you're not doing 90 and keeping up, you're in danger.
Yeah, and like you're in actual danger because Houston is a dangerous place, man.
Yeah.
Like,
pop a cap in your ass.
It's not Chicago.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
We're almost the same size as Chicago. We're kind of neck and neck in population, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But way more spread out.
Yeah, we have a larger geographical area. Yeah, that's
way more.
Chicago's like...
We're more population dense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Where everybody's here, everybody there is here. Yeah.
So, welcome to the Big Tech's Ordinance Urban Planning and Development podcast. No, seriously. I'm Ike. Y'all know what you're listening to, the Big Tech's Ordinance podcast. I'm Ike. We got Ian, Chris, and then our guest today. We're double teaming today. We got Paul Dugan, and we have Jim Dexter joining us today here at SHOT Show 2024. So, gentlemen, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come up here and chat with us for a little bit.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now I'm glad we've mentioned Jim Dexter. This is the infamous Jim Dexter you've probably heard about on the podcast many times.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Sometimes good things.
Nothing but love.
Bad things. Yeah. Sometimes outlandish.
Outlandish.
Outlandishly.
Who would not let you be an instructor because of the color of your hair?
Oh, we go from like a Hunter Freeland quoting someone say about the box of friendship to Jim Dexter should not be an instructor because he's a redhead. It covers the whole gamut of things. So I'm finally be here. Glad to be here to defend my people.
Yeah, defend yourself.
myself, my daughter, as I put another redhead into the world. So, yeah, we're here. We're not going anywhere. We're on your podcast.
I've got some red in. Most of the stuff that fell out of my head was red and blondish.
We're in your grocery stores. We're teaching your classes. We're not going anywhere.
You better look out.
And we tried to get your lovely accomplice on the podcast, but she refused to
Yes, my wife is here and now partaking in.
We have an extra headset. It's not too late
in the conversation. So.
We've had really good couples podcasts before. We've had a couple married couples on, but we can just say you, Paul. I mean, it's modern times.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We've got a history.
Yeah, yeah. And I've known you for a while. Yeah. I met you at symposium like 16 or 17, maybe first one.
Yeah, whatever the first one was, 18 maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because that was my first shot as well. I was 18.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Have you been back to symposium?
I went three years, 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
But not since then.
Yeah.
We miss you.
Yeah. Miss you too. Yeah. It's good to be here.
And then speaking of counterparts, your lovely wife.
Yeah, she Emily. Couldn't join us this year.
Yeah, but she, I still remember, what was it? The Pressburg class?
Yeah.
That y'all took the together.
We got the class photo.
The class photo. And I'm like, oh, somebody brought their kid. And I was like, wait a second.
No, it's Emily.
It's Emily. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Emily. But you put her on a line with a bunch of meat eaters, and there's a difference in scale.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's a meat eater too, but I'm just saying, like,
well, it's great when she's smaller like portion next to Scott.
Yeah.
It's just a smaller portion of meat. It's
all, yeah. She's even this little guy. She's there. Anyway, it's good to have all the friends together for. We tried to get you on the podcast before at TTPOA, but you're always too busy doing cop stuff. But
yeah. If it's not the cop stuff, it's Walter stuff. And if it's not the Walter stuff, it's tactically sound stuff. And it's good, though.
So tell us about the stuff.
Yeah. So Walter Defense Division. I'll talk about that first.
Yeah. Go for it.
First off, super cool. Honored to be a part of that kind of project and what the Defense Division is bringing to Walther as far as outreach, training, support, internal information, research and design. I started with STI's tactical team first before they became Staccato. It was kind of the first thing that I kind of did. I had STI out for a class. I was teaching my first pistol optics class for the state of Illinois on a state certified curriculum, and Buck Pearson came out and brought a case of guns what I didn't realize that it was also kind of a semi-audition for their tactical team. And afterwards, he's like, hey, man, we're starting this thing up. You want to be a part of it? I said, yeah, man, that'd be super cool. So I started with that, started doing that stuff, a little bit of, like, demo stuff at local ranges and things like that. And then their internal demographic, they became Staccato then and started Team Staccato with Matt Little, who I knew from doing stuff locally. He was still with Chicago SWAT at the time. Those guys, that was kind of started up. And so I was approached by Walther for an opportunity to join the Defense Division. I'm going to kind of fit more of what I wanted to do after the restructuring of Staccato. They had hired Hilton and those guys to do some of the things that the tactical team was going to be doing. I mean, it made sense for them. It was a perfect move for them to do, like, definitely, like, no hard feeling, nothing, like, left there on great terms. They were just going the direction to build what they've built now. I mean, I had an opportunity then, Cody Osborne calls me up and says, hey man, you know, we're getting ready to start up this thing. You know, we're going to call it the Defense Division. And we'd like you to be a part of it. I said, okay, well, cool, man. Like, tell me about it. I said, yeah. He goes, we don't really want it to be like a gun bunny sort of thing. I said, well, that's good, because I'm not that good looking. And I don't really have a huge social media following. And he's like, no. He goes, we want what you guys are about. He's like, we want the affiliation with the companies that you guys have, with the relationships that you have, with the things that you're already doing. And I said, okay, so what do you want us to do? And he goes, well, we want input on product. We want you to just continue to teach things. We want you to teach our employees. We want you to teach on behalf of Walther. We want you to guide us in these different things. And like, we want you to work your own projects. And they said, specifically, we want you for what you bring with your tactical medical background, which was with long red dot pistols is kind of the two things that I really truly specialize in. So I was like, yeah, that sounds cool, man. Like, you know what, at the worst, it's not my thing. And I just say, hey, thanks for the opportunity. And I just don't do it. So then he tells me who else was going to be on the team. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're going to bring a Jedi, Bill Blowers, Nick Young, and Tatiana Whitlock. And then later Bill Rapier. And so I was like, yeah, Yeah. Like so wait, like I'm just gonna like hang out with like all my buddies. and do the things
and
that
like,
we already
shoot guns.
We already
and
do
stuff.
Like I mean I talk to Bill all the time. You know, Scott's one of my best friends, right? We've been together since the start of Modern Samurai Project. And I was like, okay, like this.
Do
this
I have guy, to pay you?
Do I pay you money or do I get right. paid for this?
Like,
is this?
I was like, so this is like an auto renew like membership thing, and they're like, no, like we'll help you out with stuff. I was like, oh, cool, yeah, and so started with that, and it's been like everything that I hoped that it would be, and that I wanted it to be to complement what I do. You know, I started a project right away. They're like, hey, we'd like you to develop a med kit. Just kind of brand. They started the whole Be Ready campaign, mm-hmm. which was the kind of the tagline when the PDP came out. And so they're like, hey, as the whole of this, like, we want you to put together a med kit. I said, cool, man. I got contacts already. And like, that was what they wanted the Defense Division to bring to the table, was the contacts and the relationships that we already had and all the stuff that we did. So I get on the phone right away. I call the guys at Night Riker Nylon Gear. I'm like, hey, I'm getting ready to do this. Like, I want you guys to be the base of the kit. Like, the AFAC is the best. I use it all the time. Like, some custom colors. They're like, done. Contact Tactical Medical Solutions, that I had a good relationship with as an associate trainer. I said, hey, I want you guys to fill this kit out. Here's what I need. They're like, cool, done. Like, hey, how about we do a training module with it also? And I said, yeah, I'm huge on that. Like, and so they created a training module that get a QR code on it, scan it, and you go into this as hands-on as you can get online sort of training. Like, you got to move the tourniquet over, and then you got to click the windlass. Like, as close as you're going to get to hands-on training. So I'm getting all this stuff in line. I'm like, all right. So I kind of sent an email back. I'm like, hey, this is a line. And they're like, okay, cool. And so I got like a little kind of like dejected because like I didn't hear anything back. I talked to my wife and I'm like, I don't know. Like I didn't hear anything back on this. So then Cody calls me. He's like, hey, man, hey, how's that project coming, man? And I'm like, I don't know. Like you tell me, like, am I good? He's like, yeah, man. Like just do it, man. Like it's a green light, man. Like, and I was like, oh, like, so who I like checking this. He's like, no, man, just do the thing, man. Let me know when it's done. All right? And I'm like, oh, cool. Right. And so it's just completely, you know, left to do and create the project. Got it all done, worked with TechMed Solutions to create the training portion of it. And then we launched it. And so like, to me, that was really like and the price point on it, wasn't to make money. And I'm like, so it was cool that like they were really like about what they said that they were going to be about, because at the end of the day, that's what I care about. Like I'm a full-time police officer, so I'm patrol sergeant, SWAT team commander, and so like that's like, to me, that's who I am when you like really look at who I am, right? And so like I would never put something out or like put my name behind something that like I wouldn't care to use on the street and that I wouldn't want cops caring. And so it was cool to see Walter be like, yeah, do this project, man, because it's gonna like make people better. Like, overall, it's going to make them tactically sound. See what I did it?
There you go. Yeah.
That's the name of my company. That's good. That's the name of my company. A little Easter egg in there. Yeah. So it was cool. And that was kind of the first thing that I did, which just really reinforced that I was like, yeah, this is a relationship that I want to keep. It was ironically enough, the relationship with Walter was born out of me literally making fun of Cody for not knowing how to use a tourniquet, but having one on his gear. And so I told him that he had a fashion accessory on his belt and not an actual med kit. And so that's literally like, hey, guys all the time be like, hey, how do you get into this? I'm like, oh, man, you just make fun of like the marketing director and then they offer you a job. Like, and the vice president, Fred Voorhees, was still there at the time. And so I was making fun of both of them at Shooter Symposium for like not knowing how to use a tourniquet. And then they're like, hey, you want a job?
I had one job.
Sure. You're like, I didn't blackmail you. Like, oh.
I was like, oh, okay.
They're just
like,
making fun of you.
Yeah. And so as a result of that, I got to do a ton of cool stuff. You know, they reached out and, you know, Cody's like, hey, man, you want to shoot this PDP video and go out and do the promo video? We'd really like to use like an actual cop guy, not an actor. And yeah, I'll get a shot, man. Like, I've never done anything like that in my life. And that was wild.
It was a good video.
It was a good cool video.
Yeah, they really go out with the production, man.
Like, that was all Cody.
All the Walter videos? Like, Cody gets after it, man.
So the PDP video was the first one style. And so we go out to Salt Lake City to shoot this video. And like, first off, like I've never done like anything other than like be the police as a volunteer fireman, an army guard. So I've never like done like a real job. So my skill set is like only like those things. And I only know how to do them like at the level that I do them. So they're like telling me like, hey, we want you to go ahead and load the mag, like in the first scene, like load the mag. I'm like, okay. So like, hey, that was too fast. Can you slow that down? It's just like cameras all over the place. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm going and I'm like, oh my God, I'm moving so slow. Well, this is slower than I wanted to. I should go faster, but no. And I get down. I was like, that was the weirdest thing like I've ever done. And they were like, hey, that was really bad. They were super cool guys, right? But they're like,
yeah, hey, that kind of sucked.
they're like, hey, can you do that a little faster? I'm like, yeah, I got really like in my head about this. Like, I was really nervous. Like, I don't do this stuff.
It's like I fell asleep actually doing
at
it.
All. So I redid it, and then we go out to this range to shoot the shooting portion of it, and they wanted me to do something that like wasn't something that I would do. And I'm trying to do it and I just keep messing it up because it's contrary to how I would do things. So then the guys are like, hey, well, like here's what we like, just do what you would do in this. We want you to use a light a little bit. So then I do it and they're like, whoa, that was awesome. That looked great. And I was like, yeah, I do this for a living, guys. Like this is what I do. Like I did, like, yeah, okay, from now on just do the stuff that you do. And then we get to the famous part of the my wife is already laughing. Of the reactive slide.
I wish we had an Amy cam right now.
Jared knows it's going to happen. So I got the storyboard beforehand because Cody was like, hey, I want to make this like real, right? So look at the storyboard, change a couple of things. And I was like, hey, I'm not doing the slide rack, like catch the round thing. And he's like, yeah, you are. And I was like, no. He's like, yeah, you are. So I get there, and I'm still in this argument. Right? I tell guys on my team, like, we don't do that shit here, right? Like, we're not, like, you don't do that shit. And so I'm like, hey, I'm not doing the round grab thing. And they're like, yeah, we need you to do that. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And they're like, yeah. So I look over Cody, and he's like, yeah. So I do it. It takes, like, 4 takes because I like literally never done it in my life. And then, man, when that video launched, I, like, 8 seconds after the thing launched, man, I got all so many screenshots, so many messages. Like, oh, we catching rounds now. We catch next range day with the team.
Oh, everybody's
everyone's just catching looking rounds. At
me, and they're like, "You did it!" And I'm like, "This ruined me." Like, but it was such a cool experience to be involved in. It was we were filming the grocery store scene and talking about like the intensity level of it and like how it was new. Like it hadn't really been done in that fashion before. And I remember we're standing there and it's like midnight because it's in a real grocery store. And we're standing there and Cody's standing there. And he's like, man, one of the guys is walking in with the shotgun. He's like, man, you think this is too much? And I was like, no, bro, this is going to be awesome. and it was. It ended up being awesome.
Oh, dude,
and
it was a great video.
The reviews on it, you know, were so cool. It was just, it was such a cool launch. It was so different than mm-hmm. things had ever been done before. It was such a, I think it set up such a cool story about that Be Ready campaign between, you know, civilian and law enforcement, which is what the Defense Division is all about, you know, as well. Like our logo is a castle and the shield, like defend your home, defend, you know, society and the meld of Be Ready, whether you're the police or just an armed citizen or armed civilian. And that video was it. And they've just continued to just kind of double down on that mantra with the things that they're doing. It's super cool to be included in it.
I remember snapping a screenshot and messaging on Facebook. I was like, hey, can I get your autograph?
Yeah. It was neat. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So, Paul, what about you? What's
that about wraps it up.
sorry, Paul.
And work full-time as well as a weekend job. With the guard, so it's kind of a back and forth between the two things, but they both have to do with training and marksmanship. So I've been able to get both things, kind of going together, both sides of the job. So it's, kind of been my focus for the last 12, 13 years with the Guard.
Yeah.
Has been the marksmanship program as a whole. So been able to do a lot of different things with that. So, yeah.
I think you're downplaying it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. How many classes, outside enrollment classes, have you taken in the past 12 years, Dean? A lot. You can say it's just a lot. You don't have to count.
Well, it also, I mean, so I was talking
more than
2018.
Five?
Yeah. 2018 and 2019, especially. Those were the years that I like just.
You were everywhere.
Jumped headfirst into it. Because coming up through the military, I kind of had that, oh, I'm trained. I'm, if you're the best shooter in the unit, then, oh, like,
yeah.
What more would I need? Mm-hmm. And I get a 40 on a qualification, so I'm good to go. And getting to, it was getting to SHOT Show in 2018 that kind of segued to Shooter Symposium in 2018. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I did okay at the little competition piece of it. I don't know if they're still doing it the same way or not, but starting off the competition, I did all right the first year, but it wasn't a gimme, and it kind of opened up my eyes to what was out there for training and what was available for training outside of just what your
yeah. I think that's a wild thing, right? Like you have like that like circle of influence that's around you, and when you're at the top of it, and that's like that's all that's around you, you're like, yeah, man, I'm good at this, right? Like, you don't necessarily get cocky, but I think you just get settled in, like, to your skill set, and you're like, yeah, I'm good at this, man. And then all of a sudden, like, you find yourself in, like, the next little circle that's, like, just above yours, and all of a sudden you're like, damn, bro. Like, I'm not good. Right? But you are. Like, you're still better than, like, that 97-98%, but then there's that next level up that then also really pushes you, right? Mm-hmm. Because like I think so for so long it was the same thing for me in law enforcement, was that like I was lucky in that I was always just kind of like up at the top. It wasn't really for any reason. Like it was just something that I was good at. I was like, yeah, I'm good at this, man. And then all of a sudden like I go to Air Marshal Service and I'm like, no, here's my gun. Sorry. Like JJ Ricazza is my shooting coach. Right. And I'm like, I ain't good. I ain't even like average. Like, but then you push yourself and like you catch that bug of like, hey, I can be really good. Like if I get more formalized training, like, I mean, having JJ as my shooting coach, like and getting the intensive training that I got at the Air Marshal Service that was like really catered to making you shooters versus making you pass a qual. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
right.
Military.
Yeah. Yep.
You're there to pass a qual. Like you're not there to gunfight. Like, yep. Like they gotta push you through that- and then.
The quals, and I've never been law enforcement, but I mean, I get to help a lot with the academy that's there local to my full-time job. And just the quals in general, it's your operator's license to say you are sufficient enough that you can use this piece of equipment for your duty. Is basically what a qualification is. It's not saying that like you've achieved this pinnacle of where you should be. It's saying, no, this is the bare minimum that if you did not pass this, you wouldn't be allowed to use this thing. And so, I mean, it is the bare minimum requirement for whatever your duty is.
And I think folks use that like as a metric to be like, well, I got 100% on the qual.
Right.
I'm good at this. Like, nah, bro,
You see that a lot, like civilian, like LTC classes. Like, you know, people go to get their LTC, score decently, and they're like, "I'm the best shooter.
I aced the Texas LTC.
Yeah, shot 50 rounds and
walk into a USPSA match.
Yeah,
see how you.
Yeah, and I don't even mean that negatively. I just mean like, as in like barriers for going out and learning more. Right? You have this idea that like, I'm naturally kind of good at this skill with no real refinement or instruction, And then you get it and you're like, whoa.
Like, it's one of those things you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And then, but then the moment that you receive it, you're like, holy cow, like I could be really good at this. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just kind of getting this just naturally. But if I apply some critique and some,
if I actually worked at it,
like, exactly. Right. And then you do like what we did. Cause we saw each other quite a bit during that period of time at trainings and stuff, and just watched both of our skill levels just continue to elevate as we just went in and just absorbed all of it. And both of our kind of just baseline natural skills just skyrocketed and so quickly. And I always tell guys like, hey, like at the end of a class, like this is another beginning, like not the end. Like I just got done teaching firearms instructor school last Friday. I was like, hey guys, like you just earned a piece of paper. That's it. Like the state says you can go out and provide instruction. Like that doesn't necessarily mean you should right now.
Right.
But like this isn't like, it's not the end road. Like earning that piece of paper isn't at the end of the 40 hours that I'm allowed to do. Like, you know, you need to go out and make yourself that. I think it's the same thing with like base level learning, or people who just go out and plank, like, hey, go take a class and unlock like some real potential in yourself, especially if you think you're good. And if you think you're good and you've never been to a class, you've never been to a match, right? You've never like seen those guys on the range who are doing drills that like you're not doing them, but like, hey, can I shoot with you? Like, and it's a humbling thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Like, I mean, it's a big deal. Like, I'm not saying it's super easy to go out and be, especially if you're kind of like in the best in your group, like to get that little.
But that's when you need to find a new group.
Correct.
Yeah. That's literally like, if you're the best dude in the group, you need to move. Yep. You need to go to a different match. You know, that you need to start shooting, you know, maybe that outlaw match is good for right now, but then, hey, go shoot an actual sanctioned USPSA match.
But you know, then also, like, but then also every once in a while, go back and shoot that other match, right? To remind yourself that, like, you don't have to sell all your guns.
Yeah.
Like I'll do that sometimes, right? Like, I definitely moved up in my, like, circle of influence of shooters that I compare myself to. And I'm at the bottom of them, right? Like, a lot of competing interests, no excuses. Just, it is what it is at this point with where I'm at in my career and stuff. And so, like, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm really bad at this, man. Like, as I compare myself to like the Bill Blowers and the Nick Young and the Scott Chominski, but then like I teach firearms instructor school, right? That's like costing me instructors. And like I do a demo and I turn around like I'm a fucking wizard, right? Like they're like, and like it was an average demo. And then I'm like, okay, I can calm down. Like I'm not going to stop trying to get better, but also like I don't need to take the tile off the wall and pack it up. Like,
yeah.
I can keep doing this and presenting instruction as long as I continue to drive myself and drive other people.
We used to do, when me and Ian worked together, I used to teach a Friday afternoon class, and we'd have people come in. Ike every once in a while would drop by when we had time. And I mean, this was 2016, 2017, maybe. Mm-hmm. Time frame, right? Maybe.
No.
Later? 18?
No, 18.
18?
Yeah.
And I remember this one gentleman coming in. He was an older guy. He was, I mean, like late 60s. Come in and to the class, and we were shooting. Literally, we were starting with dot torture that day, and that dude didn't like. He just blasted the paper. Like there was no dots, nothing. We're like, hey, I don't think you realize what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Follow these instructions. He's like, oh, okay. And every week he'd show up. Every week he'd show up. You'd show up midday. He had a membership, right? He'd be there. He'd just blasting. And I remember that dude getting like a 95 on the federal air marshal wall. Like going from that where he couldn't pass a dot torture to doing really good on the fam, man.
On the hardest qualification in law.
That dude was ready to burn somebody down. You know, this old, I mean, he was an older gentleman. Like well into his 60s, maybe early 70s, and he saw where he was at, and he's like, oh, well, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it's all about the work you put in.
I mean, I spent 7 years in the guard and then got out, got the job at the range. You know, I was really starting to shoot a little more, and then my first really set of classes was the first P&S summit. And, like, I remember taking – I don't remember exactly who I took, but I was like, oh, my God, I know nothing. Like – I can't believe I spent 7 years in like, not that I didn't learn anything, but it was just the such a different level of curriculum. And then you go take, a class with Uncle Bill or Chuck or, one of those guys, and they just, fire hose you with knowledge. You're like, oh my God, I deployed and I didn't know that. Yeah. Or like, what? Wild.
What I get all the time in my law enforcement classes, I got it twice last week. I wish somebody had shown me that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I always reply, me too, bro. Like, because it was just this mass, let's get it done. Or it was instructors who didn't take instructing seriously. Like my firearms instructor school is intense. Like, it is lots of shooting. It's lots of diving into the components of shooting, breaking all of them down. I mean, it's lots of, I don't want to say mindset, cause that sounds like tacta bro. Right. But like, I'm like, hey, you need to be about this. Like, how many of you have just learned something new? And like, everybody's hands go up. I'm like, how's that possible? Because I didn't make anything up. Like, none of this is new material. Like, I was like, this is all like sourced from like the beginning of the time of guns. Like, there's no like Jim Dexter like secret sauce thing. like you just needed to be presented this information, and you need to present people this information. You know, barriers to learning and just getting out there and doing it. It's like with the dot, all the time. Like guys try to just go out and just do it themselves, right? And just figure it out. And then they either get bad habits or they struggle with it. I'm like, bro, like, just take a little bit of time and a little bit of money and shortcut that learning process and just get better right away. You know, removing those barriers to learning, like the shooting community is, especially in the learning realm of things, is it's such a supportive environment that like, I think a lot of people miss out on because they have this idea that like, wow, I'm not good. Okay, bro, that's what class is for.
Yeah, how many times have you heard that? Well, I don't want to take that class because I don't think I'm good enough to take that class. Go take the class.
Right. Like,
go take it.
Like, bro, like, go. Like, can you safely handle a firearm where you won't be asked to leave because of safety? Yeah. Okay, bro, like, where do you think this knowledge is going to come from? Like, you're not going to go to bed and the knowledge fairy doesn't show up and just sprinkle it on your hands.
You put a Glock mag underneath your pillow, it helps you pass dot torture.
Right, right. like, go out and get this and build that network and that framework to get yourself better, because you're just going to become better overall, not just at shooting. And I think, the firearms community, gets a bad rap, or really no rap. And I mean, there's really nothing like it. I mean, it's just so supportive in nature. And everybody just wants everybody to get better, even in the competition realm of things, even in the business realm of things. You know, I mean, I was talking to another business yesterday, and he said, hey man, if your classes are ever low or anything and you need a couple more seats, like, let us know. We'll put it up. You know, this is a company that has a Red Dot instructor program that is prolific across the country. And like, yeah, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. If there's anything, logistically I can do for you, let me know. He's like, yeah, we know that you talk about our class all the time. Say, hey, go see Dano. And, and that's, that's what it's about. It's about making people better.
Mm-hmm. Rising tide, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, there's only one way that happens is if we all do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. We help out other companies all the time for stuff like that. You know, we like finding companies where we were at a few years ago. We're like, hey, here, don't make this mistake.
Yeah.
Do this.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you need to be focused on this. You got any questions? Oh, you're fixing to do this. Hey, how about this is what we learned from this situation. Yeah. You know, that's the worst thing is engaging with somebody and just letting them make the same mistakes that you've made in the past. You're not helping anybody.
Right.
Yeah. It's all about, sharing information. You know, if you can help somebody avoid a mistake that you've made in the past and, was not detrimental, but like, it was a good learning experience for you. If you can save somebody that,
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic Murr upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those were my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Going to be across the street at the range. Doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armorers
class. Armorers class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
And then that becomes like what you guys are known as then, right? Like, you're known for your product, but you're known as the guys who will help anybody out anytime for literally no reason, just because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's like, right? We don't want anything from you. It's
like, right. I mean, and I think that speaks volumes, you know, for your guys' company and then the association with, like, for me, like I said in the beginning, right? Like, at the end of the day, I'm a cop. I'm a SWAT team commander. Like, that is me. That is who I am. And so, like, who I associate with and who I put my name with is important to me, right? And, like, you guys have built a name that, I mean, like, who's got a problem with Big Tex, right? If you don't like Big Tex, then fuck you, right? Like, right. The sticker, right? But, like, but nobody does, because you guys just do the right thing, because it's what the community, if you will, needs, right? And that's how I've always approached things, too. Like, guys all the time, like, hey, you know what? How'd you get to, like, where you're at? Something, like, bro, first of all, I don't know. Like, it was luck. Like, I didn't do anything. But the biggest thing is that, like, I'm never an asshole to anybody.
Yeah, just be cool.
Be cool, man. Like, be cool. Okay, but be cool, man. Like, and I don't do it with my hands, but just be cool or doing it. You know, and like, I've given out so much information on Red Dots to law enforcement. I've got a Google Drive that at this point has been shared. Bro, I don't even know. I wish I could see in my Google Drive, like, how many times something's been shared at this point over the last 6 or 7 years.
Are you sure it's not because of the feet pics?
Gotta be. Are those still on there?
Yeah.
Sorry. I transferred that all over to my OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. It's free now.
I explained why I'm not in the top 5% yet.
Yep.
But it's gotta be thousands, you know, it's gotta be thousands of people and agencies. Like, I don't really ever see anything from that, but I don't want anything for that. But then every once in a while, I just got one 3 or 4 days ago. Hey, bro, you probably don't remember me, but 4 years ago, you sent me the Google Drive with the information. I've been working on it since then, and I just wanted to let you know that last week it was finally approved, and our agency is going to DOTS.
Oh, hell yeah.
I could not have done that without that information. Thank you so much. It wasn't like, hey, I need you to come down and teach you class. But like, I was like, that's it, man. Like, that's why I do it. Like, that's it. Like, that's all there is to it. Like, that's why. Just because it's the correct and the right thing to do. You know, and that's like my number one tip to guys. Like, guys all the time who are starting to be good shooters and stuff. Like, hey, man, like, how do you, like, pick up sponsors and things like that? I'm like, just be cool, man. Like, meet people. Like, don't waste any opportunity to go do something and talk to somebody and meet somebody, because you never know when, like, that moment's going to start where, like, you get pushed to finally start Tactically Sound Training Center, and you're like, all right, I think I'm going to do this thing now. Like, I need some support, right? And it's like, hey, Ike, like, I think I'm going to start this thing. Can I count on you for a little bit of support? Yep. And sure enough, you got one of my first patches.
It still sits in my office at the house in the little frame.
Yeah, in the frame, on my bookshelf. Right? There were three companies right away that were TACMED Solutions, Filster, and Big Tex. And I started up and sent I kept the first patch, and then the next three went to those guys who, it's like, yeah, man, go do your thing. And now here I am, and here we are, and there's a whole lot of people that are better.
That's right? Awesome.
got lucky and been able to make a little bit of money in the meantime, which nothing wrong with that, which allows us to do bigger and better things. And there are people out there that are better now. I mean,
agencies that are better now.
Agencies that are better now, right? I mean, I was super fortunate and humbled to get asked by Walter to go out to the Pennsylvania State Police to provide the transition training because they selected
that's a big
the
PDP. One.
Huge. They selected the
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they selected the 4.5-inch compact. I know. Where can I find one? It didn't exist.
They don't. Yeah.
Jen's like, what's up with these agencies and like picking shit that doesn't exist? I'm like, we like to be difficult. So they made the 4.5-inch compact and then the S series gun. So they're hand fitting their troopers with the back straps or letting them select the S series gun. And so I went out there for 2 days do the Walther Master Instructor Program that gave them the Red Dot Transition Program. I went out early for a meeting on policy and training transition and stuff because that's something that I super specialize in. I wrote a police one article on it and talked with agencies quite a bit about training setup and policy setup. And so went out and then did a 2-day transition course for them. You know, and at the end of it, I was like, hey, guys, like I want to just take a moment to like recognize you guys and like the chapter in history that this is for an old agency. Like when you're talking about the Pennsylvania State Police, I mean, they've been around a little bit. Like I asked how long they've been there and one guy like said the year and then like their motto and like their crest, like, you know, like you get as a trooper and ingrained with the history and stuff. And like think about this for a second, guys, like this is a chapter in the evolution of your agency. Like,
yeah.
Like you're going to not only a new gun, but you're going to red dots. Like you're going to them now.
This isn't a model Smith & Wesson Model 10 anymore or a Glock.
Exactly. Right. You're not just transitioning to a new striker fire gun because you're up on it. Like you're literally making history at your agency. And it was really cool to be involved in that, you know, looking back on starting up about 6 years ago with just sharing information and doing stuff local. And now I'm out transitioning, you know, an entire state police program to the dot.
That's gangster.
It's cool.
I still get a kick out every once in a while. There's the post like on PNS or something. They're like, hey, we're looking at red dots. Does anybody have documentation? I'm like, really? Could you use the search feature?
Yeah. Cause it's always Aaron, Jim Daxter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan Smith. Like here's a link. Here's Aaron's paper.
Is there any major metropolitan police departments that are using red dots?
All of them. Like Chicago finally. After 5 years, I was brought in, I think about 5 years ago, because they were like, cops gonna be cops, right? So they just started showing up, like with them. And Chicago's like, I don't think we can do that. Like, I don't think we should. And they're like, no, it just says we can't have like laser sights. Because cops gonna be cops, man. They're always gonna find a way around it. So I got brought into a first level meeting on it. And like there was support for it and everything, but in Chicago, I mean, so it just took years and now finally, they're allowed. I mean, they got a lot of issues and a lot of things going on there, but finally,
at least they got red dots.
That's
now.
Fine. Yeah, but they got red dots. Yeah. They need them.
What was that? We had one and I think you quoted them if I remember right, like you quoted an agency somewhere and they were working on outfitting their patrol rifles, right? We were getting lights and slings and optics for them. And then they turn around and they change their, you know, whatever, their mastered arms or their head guy. And they're like, oh, well, we're actually not allowed to put any of that on our rifles now. They went like backwards.
Yeah.
Like the one dude's like, oh, we're getting all this. And then like, and so-and-so says we can't even have slings on our guns. I was like, oh, well, all right. Well, call us in 15 years when you catch back up.
It's wild sometimes, man. Like some of the emails that I get like, hey, man, can you help us out? We're trying to put lights on our guns. I'm like, what do you mean? Like new ones? what do you want a mod light?
Are you guys just like holding like candles in front of your guns?
Like you want a mod light? They're like, no, like a weapon light. Because they say they're dangerous.
Isn't it Denver? Is it Denver that doesn't allow weapon lights?
Maybe I don't know.
Some place like that is just ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Seeing what you're about to shoot is bad.
Right. I was like, I feel like the only data that you need is like, I can see the thing.
I can see.
I'm shooting it. Like, I don't have anything else for you, but like, I feel like that's it.
Like, seems like no that should secret. Be an easy one.
I don't get it. Like, yeah, I think, you know, the prevalence of the dot, you know, just continues to grow. I mean, you, Paul, you've been teaching classes for a long time. You teach pistol. You've been teaching pistol stuff too, right?
Some.
Yeah. So on your civilian or your law enforcement stuff, like how much more are you seeing the DOT showing up?
Oh, a lot.
Versus before.
Yeah. A lot.
Well, I mean, now isn't Big Army switching to the DOT too?
Not officially released yet.
Okay.
So I got this. Do y'all have the 17s at y'all's level? Yeah, y'all have the M17s?
Yeah, yeah, we've had those for a few years now.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, it's ready for a DOT.
Yeah.
But
has the place there's no for the DOT
in the Big Army system doesn't have a DOT
right.
yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you, like, data-wise that I know, I went through FBI Firearms Instructor School. Oh, I should have looked this up.
I can't believe you didn't look this up.
I know. No, I'm having nightmares about this tonight. I think 5 or 6 years ago, had the opportunity to go, and I went with the DOT gun, because I was like, look, like I went to the Air Marshal Academy and like learned so much about instructing by being a student in the coaching format, that I was like, hey, I'm gonna go with my DOT. Like I'd been shooting the DOT for a little while, and I was like, hey, I really want to dive deep into like instructional considerations for the DOT and look at the difference in this stuff. So I went to the school with the DOT, and I was the first one ever to go with a DOT gun, to the point that I walked in and they're like, what is that? And I was like, there's a red dot on my pistol. Like, I don't think we allow that. I'm like, no, you got your sheet here. You don't not allow it. And you're in the FBI. So
it's like when you go to TSA to like check your gun and you have to bring the policy with you. Cause they're like, nobody fucking knows.
No, your policy says this. So I shoot the class, go through it, end up. That's where my, PowerPoints and my red dot, drive was built from. They, at the end of their school, you got to, on the Friday, you got to do like some presentation on something. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just like everybody else, man. I want to do as little amount of work for as much amount of money as possible. So I tried to like recycle some range medical thing. And they're like, no, fancy boy, you want to carry a DOT. You're going to tell us why. So I created the PowerPoint that, and then it grew from there. So now, a year and a half ago, a state police master sergeant, who's a good friend of mine, state police SWAT, texts me and says, hey, I and the guys at FBI wanted you to know that this is the first class ever that they have had more dots than they have irons guns. So it was a cool data point to see, especially in a profession that is not the greatest with changing with the times and things. 5 years is a compressed time frame in probably any industry of change to now have had more dots than irons, and the FBI went from, we don't know if we allow that, what is that, to having their own red dot
program
and their own red dot classes. Yeah. So it was cool to be able to have that tangible knowledge. Cause like most of the time you just don't know.
Yeah.
We don't really know where things are at. And so it was cool to see in a 5-year time frame, just the prevalence and the switchover and the adoption, of it.
Are they all to the point in the FBI? Is that all new recruits are getting trained on the red dot and getting issued?
I don't know exactly what their rollout is. If it's from the academy, I know of a couple places that are from the academy. Houston is from the academy. Pennsylvania, it will now be from the academy. I believe Fort Worth is from the academy. And there's some in the LA area that are that way. But the FBI, I'm not totally sure if they're doing that
to see the that'd be an interesting data point to see is the amount of people, what their qual rate has done. Has it went up? Well, has it, because it's...
I'll give you some data on that.
There you go.
So
here comes that knowledge.
The best indicator that we have of that is that FBI Firearms Instructor School, their qualification is a very 25-yard B8 intensive. They have two separate qualification scores now. Much to my dismay and much to my objection... there is a score for irons and there's a score for red dot. So, the FBI being the FBI, they had to have looked at that and seen so much objective data to show that like, hey, guys are breezing through this with red dots. To me, I say, oh, who cares? What's your objective is the qual. What the standard is, the standard pistol is a pistol, but they have a separate qualification. They have a higher qualification score for a red dot gun than an irons gun. And so I can't imagine that an organization like the FBI didn't start to look at that data and go.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Houston, for example, I don't know if this is still their policy, but like you can't. You couldn't on their first version of our policy. It may change in their second years ago. I'm like, you can't earn a sharpshooter badge or couldn't earn a sharpshooter badge if you used an optic gun. So at the time I was like, why doesn't everybody use it then?
If this is such an enhancement, shouldn't everyone have this?
Right. Like, how is it not like, let's negate some liability. So
you're better than everyone. You can't have a badge.
You're too good at this.
You're cheating now.
What do I say? Then what do you mean? I shot that too good? I thought that was the goal.
Yeah, I thought that was like the whole point. Yeah.
So that's why I'm anti that. I'm anti higher qualification scores for red dot, because what's the point of a qualification? It's to show some objective measure.
Then just bump the whole score.
Yeah,
100%. Like go, okay, like if you want a new score, that's the new score. If you can't do it with irons, maybe you should have a dot.
Like the four. Changing his whole standards. Yeah. He's like, hey.
Yep. People are too good now.
Yeah. Like, 10 years ago, this was hard.
Which is awesome. I have zero issue with that, right? But let's make it across the board. Like, I think that's super cool. Like, I re-listened to his podcast. I'm not, because I really enjoy that one. It was so cool to just like listen to him talk about like how much better just the average like people are than they were, to the point where he had to change a standard.
Yeah.
Which is it's super cool as a general trainer. Like, the general level of skill for people is just getting better, you know. But I also think that we have like all these things that are challenging and pushing people a little bit more. I mean, obviously we're in a time of information, right? Yeah. Like, people are going to hear this, right? There's probably like seven people are probably going to listen to this, right? And mm-hmm. get some information. Whereas before, access to information was like, you had to have a DVD player and buy the Magpul DVD, right? And then do the stuff in your living room. Right. And then now come to my class and do your Katana mag flip that I make fun of you for and go, bro, that was good in the Magpul DVD, but like the YouTube exists now. Don't.
Yeah.
Outside the post I had the other day was I go ghost and I go over the top of something and I let the magazine fall and I just go, shh, let it fall. Right. And so like now the access to information and for people to push themselves with, you know, the DeFore standard changing, right? Going for trying to get a nuclear tiger patch, you know, with Bill Lowers, the MSP black belt standards, right? And mm-hmm. the varying levels, you know, of that, I think, and all these different challenges, you know, I see every once in a while, like, oh, enough of these challenges. I'm like, hey, enough of just saying things just to be heard. They're pushing people to do things and to get better. And in their failures of all these things, they're learning from that to bring our average shooter up to a higher level, which is cool, man. Make up all the challenges in the world, bro, like, because it's pushing people to get out there and do stuff. And isn't that what it's all about?
Mm-hmm. You've also got the, you know, you go to a class now, and maybe it's just because I'm getting old, but the age demographic, there's more and more younger dudes in their like early 20s getting into classes, and like I couldn't even imagine getting into this 10 years before I did, and been doing this for 20 years now. Because if I would have got into, you know, we were talking about it last night about the AMU, right? I wish somebody would have came to me when I was, you know, 14, 15, and be like, you know what, you're probably going to end up in the military, and you can shoot the shit out of a shotgun, so you should shoot more shotgun and go right into the AMU.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the way to get into it. Because once you're in a unit, you ain't going nowhere. You know, like, it's hard to get into. And those dudes are getting recruited right out of high school and spending their whole careers. I mean, look, who's, I can't even think of his name, dude. He shoots for SIG now.
Horner.
Yeah. I mean, that dude's recruited straight out of high school into the AMU. Shot for 20 years and now he's shooting for SIG. You know, fantastic opportunity. But it's getting into it young and the abilities that you can get from doing it for a long time. Getting the right training.
I think what always gets me is like the profession of people who come to civilian training. Like when I started my company, like I'd been teaching for a while. Like I'd been teaching LE stuff and teaching stuff in the military and things. And I had some guys pressure me like, hey, like people, folks need this stuff. Start doing this stuff. I was like, oh, I don't really know if I'm there yet. Like for me, it is a big deal to take people's money. right? Like, and I really struggle with I don't know, man. Like, do I know enough and do I have enough like that I'm going to take somebody's like hard earned money? Like, they go to work to earn that. Like, and then finally I had a buddy who was like, hey, so he was the head of security at a place. And he's like, hey, so, I need you to provide this training for my company, for my security guards. Okay, cool, man. Like, I know you. I'm okay with that. And he's like, but you have to have a W-9. You have to have a company. And I was like, man, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. And he's like, here's my budget. And I was like, okay. And he's like, no, like that's the check I'm gonna write you for this. And I was like, cool, I own a company. I'm like, I got on that day. I was like, Illinois LLC. Like, and then
write W-9 on a fucking napkin. Here's my W-9.
And then Tactically Sound Training Center LLC was born. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll start a company. And then they're like, hey, so when are you going to do training? So I pushed, I started pushing training out. Had a range that I was going to go, at, but they were like, well, it was around SHOT Show time. And I'm like, hey, man, like, you guys are going to be open space owner class. And they're like, well, and like, I knew these guys, like, they were local guys, like, these guys all knew me, like, it was their members who were like, hey, you should start, put a class on. And we're like, well, we're going to SHOT, and let's see, we're going to see who we come back from SHOT with, and we'll let you know. And I was like, damn, bro, like, that was right in the feels. Like, so I went to another range, my next door, that I knew the guy, and I was like, hey, I want to do a class, I don't want to sit around and wait. And he's like, yeah. My first class sold out in 23 hours. And I was like, oh, people actually want this stuff, right? And I had this idea of who my students would be in open enrollment. Like, I was going to be like cops or security guards and stuff. Bro, I'd never been more wrong about anything in my life. Like, and it was one of those things where in the beginning, I really wanted to know about people and who was coming to these things. So I would always ask like the profession that they were in. And I was wrong like every time, man. Like, I still think it's like 70% like IT guys, like a lot of like general contractors and things like that. I was wrong. I don't think I've ever had a security guard like in my in my class. Obviously my LE classes are all LE, but like I was so wrong on who the draw on that was going to be. And then my medical class, like my tech medical classes, I was even wronger on that. Like I had people like, I saw insurance, cool, man, right? Like it was cool to like be wrong about my own, like, I don't know, I guess implicit bias on who was within that community, right? Because I'd only really been on the LE or the military side. And so it was cool, man. Like, and I think especially in the beginning, it like invigorated me to keep doing it and to keep building content for like the everyday person out there. And it's cool.
I'll show up a class in the Houston area, and I mean, like, it almost like 90% chance I'll walk in, and there's the same dude, and he's a dermatologist in the Houston area. And I'm not going to say his name because he's kind of low key in the training community, but I mean, it's like, shows up, and I'm like, hey, nice to see you again. Like, who's your shot? LPVO class in San Antonio. Yeah. About like 3 hours away. He's like, well, I heard about it in the training group. Oh, okay, cool. And then another class at Bruiser. He was at Bruiser. Yeah. Hey, man. And like, me and him were in Craig Douglas's Edge Weapons class together. And we're like, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
Stabbed you last time. How's it going? But it's just cool to see those dudes that have not. Yep. He's not in the community at all. It's like what he likes to do.
It is. And I think like it's important for people to hear that. Right, because I think the general person probably also has an idea, or no, has this thought of who's in these classes, right? And so they look at like a Craig Douglas like ECQC class, and they're like, oh, man, that's not for me. Like, this is going to be straight up just dudes just raw dogging meat eating, biting each other's faces, on beards that are rather all muscular with their tight shirts and stuff, and then
sexy,
and then you show up and like. There's like, he's like, I sell insurance. He's like, I work at a grocery store, right? Susie's like, I'm a stay at home mom, right? And then you're like, I'm a cop, kinda, and like, oh, okay. I just wish more people like knew that, right? Because I know there's probably somebody sitting right now that as they're scrolling through the feed, there's a class that they should absolutely go to, right? That would possibly put them on the path to personal protection and being sound in their everyday life and the things that
like
they need.
Like tactically sound?
Like being tactically sound. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But they're not, because they have this just this thought of what it's going to be like and that they won't, quote, fit in.
Yep.
And I've never seen somebody come to a class and not fit in, right? Go give your all, right? Open yourself up to criticism and assistance. You're going to have a good time, man. If you don't have a good time in my class, I'll give you your money back. Like you're going to have a good time, like, because I'm going to have a good time.
I say
like,
we start taking all of his classes, right? And saying, we have a, like, yeah, like, oh, this like, fucking like, class like, is like, you had a great time.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, well, what did you know? I was paying attention. We asked six times.
And I'm going to interrupt you here, because this is a topic I had with I talked to Ruben Alvarez from Paradox Training this morning. And we're talking about his class that we're hosting at the range in April, probably before or after this podcast airs, probably after. But he's like, you know, people like to wait to the last minute to sign up for classes, right? Please, if you want to take a class, sign up for it. Don't wait, because what happens is the other 14 people in that class are all waiting to the last minute, and we get down to the 3 weeks later, and he needs to buy a plane ticket, and he doesn't, and we have to cancel the class. And then 15 people email me and say, hey, we were going to sign up, but I was waiting to make sure the class didn't get canceled. Bro.
That's not tactically sound.
Also, guys.
Not at all.
Industry secret time. I can tell.
Secret time.
Hey. Beep. It's not a marketing tactic when we say this class is going to fill up. Get your seats. Because then when it fills up and you message me, hey, man, I was going to sign up 3.5 months ago, but I waited. Can you get me in? No. I have the number of seats I have for a reason. The personal connection to my students is important. It is not a I'm a full-time police officer. I don't care if my class sells out, right? I will teach two people. I don't have anything going on that day. That's why I'm teaching in class. Just sign up early, because I'm not going to let you in later. My student-to-instructor ratio is vitally important to me. It is absolutely vitally, vitally important. It is the most important thing as far as I'm concerned. That student-instructor connection is it. I hear all the time in my evaluations, like, especially on the law enforcement side. What's going on? Is it a cool bird?
I don't know. It was a big bird. But like, I like caught out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, fuck, that's a big bird.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm a huge bird guy. I'm a huge bird of prey guy. It's a hawk. I just saw it flying over me. So you guys have lost me now.
Jim's going to be that old dude bird watching in the local park when he's 80.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
With his binoculars. Yeah. That's an East Coast red-winged pigeon-toed parrot.
The birds of prey is where it's at. So, like, that student-to-instructor connection, like, I get all the time. Like, I've never gotten this much individual attention before, because they're always that in-mass law enforcement training where, like, we got to get to the qual. Like, no, like, I got to get you better. I can imagine it's the same thing with you, right, Paul?
Absolutely. The ratio has been kept so low that some folks want to look at it like, oh, is it worth it? Like, yes. Like, I'm not looking for throughput in this one class. Like, I'll just do more of the classes. The number has to be small enough. If I'm the one instructor, like, it's going to be a small student ratio, because each person there matters, instead of just going, well, here's the information. Hopefully you guys got it.
I mean, like, higher level shooters get more out of those style classes too, right? Because we've all been in that class where, like, we are the good shooter, right? And then they just walk by and like, hey, good job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you took my money. I got a high five myself. Like, tell me something. Like, right. Like, I could have stayed at home and
saved all this ammo
and done this, right? Yeah. Like, or just running supervised drills. And like, I don't think I learned anything on here, because we didn't really apply anything on a metric and then look at it.
Just kind of shot at the paper.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, what was my metric on this?
Yep.
You know, and I think people are hungry for that, right? That's why you go to a class. Yeah. Like,
well, early on, dude, like early on when I started in the training community, I had a buddy who's like, look, and this was forum days, right? This was like M4 Carbine, you know, ARFCOM. Like, and so like a lot of the dudes in the class, you would know at least a handful of whatever you were overtaken. And if you could identify prior to the class who, or like as you were gearing up in the morning, find the dude who looks like he's going to be the worst. The guy taking a holster out of a package and trying to put it on his belt. I'm going to go stand by that dog.
Because he's about to get a lot of attention.
He's about to get a lot of attention. And I've moved during the during the class. Be like, dude, that dude is bad. Next time we go out and everything, you know, lunch, and then I get out there on the line, and dude's like, hey, man, I was there. I was like, I'm sorry. I want to stand here.
Yeah.
Like, I'll stand here so I can get what that knowledge is going over.
And you shouldn't have to do that, right? A proper instructional format should be geared for everybody. Like I in instructor school, like I talk about that all the time. Like, hey, like at the very least, right? You go by and that dude has let's say a 100 on it, right? Like, hey, nice job here. Let's try to do this a little bit faster next time, right? Get a little bit faster out of the holster and that push some hand speed. Or like, hey, we're going to shoot this again. I want you to shoot this faster. Let's see if the wheels fall off a little bit so that we can identify something. What's something that you've been working on this morning? I've been working on getting my support hand up a little bit higher. Okay, hey, get that thing up higher. Crank that pressure down in that support hand and let that trigger fly a little bit. If you don't get 100, I'm good with that. Let's just talk about it, right? Like that has value, you know, to them. And I talk about, you know, scaling drills all the time, especially at an agency level. Like one of my drills that it's just my jam that I really like a lot is the 10-10-10. I think it has a lot of value if shot scaled, right? I like the 10-10-10 as a base drill because 10 yards is a good general distance that if you get a good high skill set at, when you go further back, you're still going to have good success, you know, at the 25-yard line. 10 rounds, a good number of rounds. And 10 seconds for the start is a good, like, average goal to push shooters. But you can scale that with your agencies. Once you're better shooters over at the other end and be like, hey, I'm going to watch timer. Hey, let's try to get this in 8.5, right? Because otherwise your guys are going to check out, right? Like, I mean, I can shoot, you know, when I demo this, I try to use the 10 seconds and I always screw it up because I'm always thinking about whether I'm going too fast or too slow. But I just want them to know what 10 seconds is like and the corrections and things you can make. And then I show them like, hey, now I'm going to shoot this at my speed for me, for my learning, right? Like, and normally I've gotten like a 98 because I threw around because I was like, I'm going too fast. I'm back to the movie, right? I'm back to the video again. Like, oh God, I'm going too slow. I need to go faster. And I just screw something up. And then I shoot it for me and I show them like, hey, that was a 198 in 7.12 seconds, right? This is how this drill is scalable for everybody so that nobody is checking out and somebody's getting value from it all the time. But that's an instructor thing, right? I mean, especially on the LE side of things, guys haven't been taught that, right? Because it hasn't been about performance shooting, right? It's been about, we have to get this qual done,
right?
And like there's this disconnect between if you just teach people how to shoot well, they are going to pass the qual. Like the qual that we shoot is my department qual because it has a whole bunch of stuff involved in it, just with a higher percentage on it. We don't shoot the qual until the end. At the end, their instructor qual is the last day and they're seeing it for the first time. But they've seen all the things in that qual all week long because we've been working on them. And then you just apply all the things and then you pass the qual. Like, so we're shooting to a component proficiency. And then as a result, you become better overall. And then you pass the qual.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, almost if I know how to use this thing, I'll use it well.
Funny how that works.
It's amazing how developed skills, you know, can be tested later in an evaluation.
Yeah, if you're developing the skill. I think you just nailed it, right? Developed skill, right? They're like, I can train somebody to pass the qual. But have they developed skill? And I think I don't think I've ever really heard it presented that way. And I think that's what I had before I kind of like stepped up that next level. Like I just had a general use of it, but I didn't have developed skill. And then all of a sudden developed skill was presented to me. And I was like, oh my God, this thing goes really fast. Let's go, man. Like,
yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that because just the overlap in a patrol rifle course I did, there were at least two of the students that had never, like, their patrol rifles, like, they were, like, out of the box day one. Like, hey, how do we put this sight on here? We have a patrol rifle here to take this course with. And that was a 3.5 day class. Last day, last thing we did, qualification. They qualled to the instructor standard, first time ever shooting the rifle qual. Because we just worked on skills and what are the pieces of, you know, that you need to know. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, develop skills. If you teach the content, not teach the test, right? You end up passing the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I would have known that in high school.
Right.
They don't teach like that in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just teach you how to take the test. They don't teach you the skills to require. Skills required to pass the test. Anyway, I used to love doing the, like, you know, shooting FBI qual and be like, oh, you're good. You're going to actually shoot twice the round count.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Twice the round count, same time standards. What? Or like, okay, hey, headshots only. What?
Yeah.
Right.
Headshots only. Yep. Pass FBI qual, headshots only, same time qual. Why? Because you're good.
Yeah.
Push yourself.
I like to go, all right, you see that big Q target? You get the chest box.
Yeah.
Like
nothing outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it inside the chest box. Yeah. Or ramp it up if you're not going to do accuracy, do the time. Be like, okay, now you have to do that sooner. Like just because you're allowed this par time of 25 seconds for, you know, 10 shots or something, like, no, like
15.
You have less time.
Yeah.
Just to try it out once. I was shooting through while a qual was going on, and I just jammed like every single mag that I had full. And I was like, okay, here we go. And so every single stage, I was just trying to see how many rounds I could get down in this 50 round qualification. 100% hits, 147 rounds fired.
In a 50 round qual?
In a 50 round qual. Within all the time restraints.
And it's just,
there's so much more there. Like if, it's just the basic test. It's, yeah.
So where can people find you, Jim? On the interwebs.
Really, pretty much Instagram. Really active on Instagram. Tactically Sound, Tech Sound, Tactically Sound on Facebook. Website that I should probably update. no one goes to the website. Just go to my socials, Facebook and Instagram. That's where you'll find me at.
Nice. Paul?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Kinetic Fundamentals on both. But yeah.
Are you on LinkedIn too?
Yeah. LinkedIn.
There we go.
You're on LinkedIn?
I am.
Yeah, you can find him on LinkedIn as well.
On LinkedIn.
Yep. I know some of the times when it comes to LE or military, they like you to find you on LinkedIn more than they like to find you on Instagram.
Yep.
So a little bit more professional there. Yep. So yeah, check these dudes out. We've known them for a long time. Great times. We've got to get you down to the range for a class or two. Yep. Do some content.
Yeah.
You know, it won't be as fancy as the Walther video.
We could go to HB.
You won't have to catch a round.
Yeah. I'll be much more comfortable. Yeah, I refuse to catch the round. I'm not doing it again.
You're writing that into your contract.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've listened to this entire podcast, thank you. We appreciate it. Leave a comment down below on YouTube, and we'll see if we can get Jim to answer it. Or if you've got a question for us and you're in the Facebook V2 group, he's always in there. Posting about Easter eggs and asking good questions. And if you're friends with him on Facebook, you don't get to meet his wife. And we're fixing to sit here and chat. And we wish you would have been on the podcast with us. But thank you for sitting there and laughing at all of our bad jokes. We appreciate you watching, listening, consuming this podcast.
Make sure you clean behind your ears when you shower.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Go to bed early. Drink water. Important. Hydrate. Yeah.
Hydrate.
Don't hydrate. Race. And thank you.